Welcome to Shakespeare FC, The Words, a five-minute journey into the individual bits of language that were forged, fletched, hewn, and hammered, and sometimes crowbarred, into existence by our brilliant and witty Warwickshirean wordsmith, or, as you become more familiar, Uncle Will. I'm your host, Kari Marshall. Today, time is running down, and perhaps out, of joint, but no cursed spite. Well, actually, come to think of it, curses do come into play in our play, where William's word darts up and diminishes, along with the hierarchical hopes and dynastic dreams of a rather ambitious Scottish couple. It decreases, reduces, lessens, and wanes, shrinking from our sight, and much like our time here, as the tale of Macbeth unfolds, the hopes of happily ever after for our regicidinal Scottish thane depressingly dwindle. The play so far. In Act 1, Scene 3, we come upon two of the three witches, who are waiting for Macbeth, and in enters their sister witch. Naturally inquisitive, the curious cacklers wonder where she has been. Well, apparently, she has been hanging out by the seaside and came across a flat-bottomed and scabby wife of a sailor who was munching away on some chestnuts. Our hungry hag asked if she could partake of the nutty nourishment, to which the woman replied,
"Get back, witch!"
Our willful warlock then tells her sisters how she told the woman that she will hunt down her husband, buffet his ship with storms, cast a life-sapping curse over him, and over the period of an oddly specific number of 81 weeks, he will become sickly and waste away from grief.
"Where hast thou been, sister?"
"Chilling swine."
"Sister, where thou?" "A sailor's wife had chestnuts in her lap, and munched and munched and munched. Give me," quoth I, "a ripe witch," the rump-fed runion cries. "Her husband's to Aleppo gone, master of the tiger. But in a sieve I'll thither sail, and like a rat without a tail, I'll do, and I'll do."
"I give thee a wind."
"The kind."
"And I another."
"I myself have all the other, and the very ports they blow, all the quarters that they know, with the shipman's card. I'll drain him dry as hay. Sleep shall neither night nor day hang upon his penthouse lid. He shall live a man forbid. Weary 7 nights, 9 times 9, shall he dwindle, peak, and pine. Though his bark cannot be lost, yet it shall be tempest-tossed."
Now, the word dwindle likely originated from the Middle English dwinnen, which meant to waste away, and this in turn is believed to come from the Old English dwynan, which loosely meant to fade away. But if we dig a bit further down, we can unearth the root from the Proto-Indo-European deu, which is associated with death and dying. There are some similarities with other Germanic languages like the Old Norse dvina, to pine away, and the Dutch dwinja, which is to vanish or disappear. Uncle William would also use dwindle in the first part of his Henry IV, where his rotund rapscallion Falstaff wonders if he has lost weight following the stress of a failed robbery at Gadshill.
"But of whom I not fallen away vilely since this last action? Do I not bait? Do I not dwindle? Why, my skin hangs about me like an old lady's loose gown."
Falstaff famously goes on to say that villainous company shall be the death of him. As for us, it is Kronos, or rather Father Time. For as I glance over, I see that the last grains of sand have dwindled down to nothing. Well, alas and alack, my friends, that is all we have time for. Join us again next time for another hopefully informative journey into the mind of Uncle William. I'm Kari Marshall. Farewell, until next time.
Shakespeare Full Circle is a production of WGTE Public Media and is sponsored in part by the generous support of the Cowie Family Charitable Trust and Michelle and Kelvin McElwain. All previous episodes are available at wgte.org/sfc and wherever you get your podcasts.